I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight, please, to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, please. This is a tremendous psalm written as a psalm of encouragement, and it was written to give the people an understanding of the God they serve. I'm going to bypass reading the entire psalm to you. There's only 11 verses in it, but we're going to have communion here in a little bit, so I'm not going to read the entire psalm. The first part, you know, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And that kind of sets the tone for the psalm. He's going to tell you that God is able to help you, that God is able to strengthen you, that God can lift you up, that He's God, He's able. And then he amplifies upon that theme. Now, in verse 7, we have the first of my two texts. Although my text is only one, because verse 7 and verse 11 are repeats. In verse 7, he says, "The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, our refuge, is our refuge." Selah. Whenever you see the word Selah in the Psalms, it basically means this. It means think about it. Think about it. All right. You got to remember that these psalms, the word psalm means song, and that's what they were. They were songs that were sung. The children of Israel sang these songs in church when they went to the temple, when they went to synagogue. These songs were music was put to them, and they were handed down from generation to generation. And whenever you see a Selah, you'll notice when the choir sings, they will sing special music in many cases. They will sing the first stanza, and then the singers will stop and they'll, you know, swallow and take a breath, and then they'll play a little interlude. All right. And that's what this Selah is. It's the interlude. And it means just stop and think about what you just sung. Stop and think about it. Reflect upon what you just sang to the Lord. And so the word Selah means think about it. Verse 11, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. And I want to speak to you tonight on Jehovah of hosts. Jehovah of hosts. Let's pray together and then the message. Our Heavenly Father, I pray your richest blessings now upon the preaching of the Word of God. And Father, I'm going to brag on you tonight, and I pray that you'll give me the ability to do that tonight. And Father, I pray that you will bless me, and I pray you'll help me as I talk about what a great God thou art. And Lord, I pray you'll give every one of us attentive hearts and minds. And Lord, may we receive that which we're about to hear with gratitude as we give thought about the greatness of the God that we serve. And Lord, help us to see you tonight in the light of this verse. And may we be encouraged by it. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the history of the human race, nothing has ever been done for its help or its uplifting without the principle of faith. I remind you that the New Testament teaches us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Doubt is always destructive. Faith is forever constructive. And it is true in every walk of life and in every department of thought that the man of faith builds in every area where he exercises faith. The man who lacks faith is a man who is soon going to break down. He's going to fall apart. He's going to fall to pieces. And I want to speak to you tonight on a subject that I'm praying and have been praying all week will encourage you and increase your faith in your God and keep you going regardless of the circumstances that you have to face. As we live and serve the Lord Jesus, we often run into difficulties. Many times there are heartaches, problems, trials that we have to face. But it is an encouraging thing to understand that when our faith is directed towards God, when our faith is in God, we can keep looking for and expecting to have victory and to win the battles and to handle the conflicts that we have to face. I remind you of these things because many times as we are in the midst of toiling in the Christian life, we don't always stop as we should and consider just how wonderful and how powerful and how strong and how full of promise and how solid and how big our God really is. We should never tremble at what life has to throw at us. And if we recognize who our God is and what He can do, we will never have to worry about life overwhelming us and tearing us down. Our faith in God will sustain us and it'll keep us strong. The fact of God. The fact of God. That is the thing that makes or breaks how we handle things. If our faith is not in God, in who He is and what He is and what He can do, then we will crumble and fall from the stresses and pressures of life. But if we understand who it is that we serve, no matter what we have to deal with, no matter what comes our way, our faith in God can sustain us. Now, I want to show you a couple of things about what the psalmist says about God in these two verses that are the same, they're repeated. And as I've told you before, whenever you have two verses, especially in the same psalm that are repeated, there's a message there. And God wants you to get it. And so I hope that everyone will give me their attention tonight. There's a couple of essential truths here about God, which our faith has fastened and must be fastened, and if we continue to be workers together with Him and for Him, we've got to understand who this God is that we serve. There's a couple of things I want you to see about God which these verses suggest. First, there is a twofold fact concerning God. Look at your Bible, please. Look at whichever verse you want. It doesn't matter. They're both the same. But look at your Bible. There's a twofold fact given by the psalmist. The twofold fact concerning God is, number one, He is Jehovah of hosts. And number two, He is the God of Jacob. And then there is a twofold declaration concerning God that is given. And that is that God is with us and that God is our refuge. Now let's first of all look at the twofold fact about God. The psalmist says that God is the Lord of hosts and the God of Jacob. Now let's take that first one, that our God is the Lord of hosts. You might remember about a month ago, I preached to you out of the Psalms, and I preached to you on that verse of Scripture that says that the Lord Jehovah is our refuge. That the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth to it and is safe. And I want to basically just reiterate one or two little points there, so that you can bring it back to your mind. The name here, look at your Bible, the name here is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That means Jehovah God. You'll remember they did not write it with the vowels. They simply used the four consonants, the J, the V, the H, and the J, the H, the V, and the H. And it was Jehovah. We don't know if it was Jehovah. We don't know if it was J, who the, we don't know how it was pronounced. We think it was pronounced Jehovah. They never pronounced it. They thought it was too sacred to pronounce. And it was given the label, the tetragrammaton, tetra, four grammaton letters. And whenever the priest would write capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, whenever they would write the J-H-V-H, they would stop, wash their hands, and then they would write it. I mean, that's how sacred they held the name of Jehovah. It was the covenant name that was used for God in the Bible. Lord, covenant name, the God of redemption. And this was the name that was used whenever the Bible referred to God in connection as our Redeemer, in connection with the covenant. It refers to God as the self-existing one. The idea is that God is the eternal God who always has been and who always will be. Now that is the Lord, the second word of the 7th verse and of the 11th verse. And I want you to notice tonight in this text that the tag that is put on this is that He is the Lord of hosts. Now when I read that, I stopped and I thought, well now that's a little bit different, of hosts. And I stopped and thought about it, and so I took a concordance and I looked up the word host, and I thought, how is this word used in the Bible? And it's interesting, it's really interesting, the first time that it is used in the Old Testament is in regard to the stars. In Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 1, the Bible says, "And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." Then I noticed in prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 in verse 26, Isaiah said, "Lift up your eyes on high, and see who hath created these, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them," speaking of the stars, "He calleth them by name, by greatness of might, and for that He is strong in power, not one is lacking." And then I noticed in 1 Kings chapter 22 and in verse 19, the Bible here refers to a host of angels. So the first reference and then followed up in Isaiah, the host has to do with the universe and all the stars and planets that you can see as you stand here on planet Earth and look up. And then another way the word is used, God is speaking of all the angels that are around the throne of God, all the angels in heaven that are there to do the bidding of God. And then I got to the New Testament, and you'll notice that on the evening of our Lord's birth, you see in the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke, it tells us that the night sky was filled with the heavenly host, and they were praising God, and they were singing glory to God in the highest as they were welcoming the Savior. So then I noticed one more reference, and that's in the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, we have a third way they're used. In the book of Exodus, God referred to the children of Israel as they were coming out of the land of Egypt with His hand leading them, with the pillar of fire by day and the pillar of cloud by night. And just after God had split the Red Sea and they walked over on dry ground, and then God closed the sea back and destroyed the army of the Egyptians and Pharaoh and all the rest of them. And the reference is that they came out of Egypt, the children of Israel, and were said to be the host of God. So the phrase host is used to represent three things. It is used to represent the stars of heaven, it is used to represent the angels of God, and it is used of companies of men that march across the earth. So what all is involved here? Stars, angels, and saints. Host of stars, host of angels and host of saints. And I believe that you can tie all three into the text that I've read for you out of Psalm 46. The phrase Jehovah of hosts, listen to me now, the phrase Jehovah of hosts teaches us that the Lord, the Lord Jehovah, the God of the covenant, the God of redemption, is absolute, He is sufficient, and He is superior. It declares that God is the Lord of heaven and all of its inhabitants. It declares that God is the Lord of the universe, strong enough and powerful enough to uphold all things by the word of His power. And this phrase declares that God is the Lord who guides and leads an army of believers and will lead them on to victory. That, my friends, is your Jehovah of hosts. Then secondly, the psalmist here declares another fact about God. He says in the first part that He is the Lord of hosts, Jehovah of hosts. And then it says, secondly, that He is the God of Jacob. Now, folks, when I read that, I'm going to be honest with you. I've read it dozens of times. It never hit me. But I read it this time, and I stopped, and I said, whoa. Now, that's strange. Why did He say in the first part that He is Lord, Jehovah, the God of the covenant, of hosts, and then narrow it down to one individual and say that He was the God of Jacob? One would not think that they would fit together. He is the Jehovah of hosts, and then without even breathing, the psalmist declares that He is the God of Jacob. He takes us, watch me now, He takes us from the expanse of the universe and the multiplied millions who serve around the throne of God to the millions of the Israelites who march like grasshoppers across the desert as a mighty army because Jehovah was with them, and now causes us to look into the face of one lonely man, a guy by the name of Jacob. I think that means something. Just as surely as God, listen to me, and I don't miss this, just as surely as God is the Jehovah of all the hosts, He is also the God of one single man. He's big enough to handle an entire universe, but He's small enough to take care of little old me. Amen. Just as God cares about the multitudes, He cares about one little speck of humanity who is a sinner, fallen, and as degenerate as he can be. My friends, think about the intensity of this phrase. If He had said that the Lord was the God of Israel, we would not have been as startled. But He didn't say that. He said He was the God of Jacob. Now, let's be honest, folks. Jacob was one of the sneakiest, orneriest, backstabbing, low-down scoundrels you're going to find anywhere on the pages of Holy Writ. Now, whatever you do, one of these days you're going to meet him, and don't tell him I said that about him. But it's true. The guy was as mean as they come. And I hope that you find as much comfort in this statement in verse 7 and in verse 11 as I do. I hope it means as much to you as what I've been getting out of it. But listen, folks, God is the God of Jacob, as mean as Jacob was. This is the thing upon which my faith fastens. This is the thing upon which I hang on to and I hold on to, and it gets me through another day. He is the Lord of hosts. Yes, I can see that. And I don't have any problem understanding that. Good night. He's God. But He is also the God of Jacob. Perhaps the meanest and the sneakiest and the orneriest and the connivingest snake you're going to find in the Bible. And if God can be the God of Jacob, He can be my God, and He can bless me, and He can help me. Praise the Lord. He was Jacob's God, and He loved him without reservation. In spite of his meanness, God wrapped him with His provision. God led him. God told him where to lay his head. When he laid his head down, God sent his heavenly host to walk up and down a ladder to show him and prove to him that God, that the God of heaven was his God, and that God would bless him and be with him no matter what he had to face. And all the while, he was still Jacob. Watch now. The Jehovah of hosts, the one who commanded the host, sent them to assure Jacob that he was his personal God. Unmatched in power. The Jehovah of hosts, yet sublime in his pity, the God of Jacob. Christian, doesn't that encourage you? Doesn't that give you some hope? I mean, our God can handle a whole universe. He can command its function. He can command its order. But he will also stop long enough to help an individual like you and like me. He is not just confined to the vastness and the immensity of the universe, but is also available to the smallest and the littlest of his creation. To me and to you, he is the Jehovah of hosts. But he is also the God of Jacob. Now that's who the psalmist says is our God. Isn't that amazing? Man, I'm telling you, I had me a spell or two when I was studying for this one. Oh, I was just having myself a time. I said, God, look at this. Of course, he already knew it. But I said, God, look at this. Isn't this good? Mercy. There's a second thing in the text. First thing we saw was the twofold fact about God, but then there is a twofold declaration. Look at your Bible. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us. There's one. And then it says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. There's two. He's with us, and he's our refuge. And as I thought about that, you know, that twofold declaration really teaches us just one lesson. It really just teaches us one truth. Oh, for sure, God is the Jehovah of hosts, and he's able to control the whole host of the universe. He's able to control the whole the entire host of heaven, and he's able to control all the host of the earth, but he can also control me if I let him. He can control me if I let him. He can guide my steps if I let him. He can lead me where he wants me to go and enable me as I make the journey, if I let him. Now, folks, here's the point. God is our refuge. The God who can control the host can control little old me. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, I want you to see what infinite pains God went to make something out of Jacob. It took the Lord a while to get the Jacob out of Jacob so that he could use him. It took a while to get the Jacob out of Jacob so that he could bless him and put his hand on him and change his name from Jacob, which means trickster, supplanter, to Israel, which means prince with God. Now, how did God do this? All right, go back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Let me have you look at verse 27 and 28. Verse 27 and 28, chapter 32. Are you having trouble with Genesis, or is it 32 that's bothering you? Everybody got it? All right, okay, good. Look at verse 27. That's right after 26. All right, just making sure. Okay, verse 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast, what's the next word? Prevailed. Prevailed. Folks, what are we talking about? We're talking about your faith. We're talking about the situations of life not overwhelming you. We're talking about you being able to face whatever it is you have to face and prevailing. We're talking about you being what God would have you be. And here is God working on Jacob just like God is working on you. Here's the God who is the Lord of hosts, who is out here controlling everything, upholding all things by the word of His power. But that same God is the God of Jacob, who is right now working in your life, molding, fashioning, working, drawing, leading. He is there saying, listen, it's not going to be as hard as you're making it if you'll just let me be God. See? It's not going to be as hard if you'll just let me be God. But how did God do this great thing for Jacob? How did He get Jacob to the place that He got him to in verse 27 and 28? Well, in order to see that, you've got to go back to verse 1 and 2 of this chapter. Look at it. It says, and Jacob went on his way, and the what? Angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. That's close to Manahan, wherever Griff is. I don't know if you come from Mahanaim or not, Griff, but it's close, isn't it? What does Mahanaim mean? It means two hosts. It means two hosts. How did God do this great thing for Jacob? Well, He gave him a glimpse of Himself as the Jehovah of hosts. Jacob saw the Jehovah of hosts. And when he saw the host of God, he cried, Mahanaim, this is the place of the host. And then he went on in the chapter, and he went across the Jabbok River and met one on one with God. And the angel of the Lord, God, the Lord, Jesus, met with him. And when the angel went to leave, Jacob said, no, sir, you're not leaving until you bless me. I've seen the whole host of God. I've seen the hand of God. I've seen the power of God. He saw it in verse 1. He said, I've seen Jehovah of hosts, and I want in on His blessing. And then Jacob reached out, and he grabbed a hold of the angel of the Lord, and he held on for dear life, and with tears and with a broken spirit, he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. It was a voice choked with sorrow. The voice of a man being beaten, being crippled in the last agony of despair as he went down beneath the pressure of that mysterious hand. But, wait a minute, folks, he won. He won when he was beaten. He won. He triumphed when he yielded. And God never let him alone until that night. By crippling him, the Lord broke him. What's the point? The point is, we become Israel's. We become princes with God. We get to the place where God can do some mighty things through us and with us when we meet the Lord of hosts at Jabbok. That's when we become where God can use us. And in the God of Jacob, he found a refuge. He walked away from his family. He walked away from the camp that night as Jacob. But he came back the next morning as Israel, the Prince of God. And the God of Jacob, and in the God of Jacob, he found a refuge. Now, what is a refuge? It is a place of security. It is a place of safety. Remember from a couple of weeks ago, the sermon, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now, what does all this mean? It means, dear friend, that the God of Jacob is our refuge as well. It means that we have come away from immensity to a specific location, from host to individuality. From a magnificent outlook of God moving into a personal walk and a personal relationship. It means, dear friend, that even though you are just one little old sinner saved by grace, you too can have a personal fellowship and a personal relationship with the God who is able to handle the entire universe. And if He can handle that, He can certainly handle us. When we see our God first is able to control and maintain all the host, and be humble ourselves at His feet and see Him as the God of Jacob, the promise is that He will be our refuge. He will be our safety. He will be our high place. Folks, listen, I'm so tired of the devil winning battles. I'm tired of the devil winning battles. I mean that. I mean, it's time that Christians got in this book and we learned and we realized who our God is. It's time we got in here and read about how God created the heavens and the earth. It's time we got in here and realized that God's the one that sent the flood that destroyed mankind except for Noah and his family. And then it's time for us to realize that God is the God that called Abraham out of the Middle East and put him down into Israel and said, walk the length and breadth of this land. It's yours. I'm going to give it to you and your seed. It's time that we realize that the God we serve is greater than anything the devil can do. Our faith needs to be in Him. Folks, you got to get in this book and you got to learn that God you serve. And when you sit back and look at the Lord of hosts and it hits you who He is and you understand who He is, then you read the next phrase, He is the God of Jacob. Man, take your shoes off for you're standing on holy ground and realize that if God can handle all this, God can take care of whatever problem I have to face in life. Oh, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. Christian, lift up your eyes and see the greatness, see the vastness, see the mighty power and hand of Jehovah God. He's the Lord of hosts. Huge, expansive, vast, beyond our comprehension. But He is also the God of Jacob, able to provide a place of security for one little old weary sinner like me and like you. The Jehovah of hosts. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, please accept our thanks to You for being such a wonderful God. Lord, we praise Your name tonight for sending Your Son. Lord, we praise Your name for all the promises that are in this book. Not a one of them has ever failed and not a one of them ever will. Lord, we praise Your name for who You are. Now, Lord, help us to see You in a different light tonight. The Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob. Lord, I pray that our minds and our hearts will focus on that. And Lord, we'll see this twofold fact and see this twofold declaration. You're our refuge. You're with us. And Lord, I pray that tonight, right now, in this service, You'll bless those folks that are going through the storm. You'll bless those folks that have gotten a bad report from the doctor. You'll bless those folks whose children have broken their hearts. Lord, You'll be with those that have lost their jobs. You'll be with those, Father, that just don't know where to turn. They've grown weary in well-doing. They've gotten away from the Word, gotten away from a fellowship and a walk with You. Lord, just speak to our hearts tonight. And I ask, dear Lord, that You'll help us to see our God in His vastness, but also to see Him as personal, the God of Jacob. Lord, touch our hearts with this truth tonight. May we lean upon You. May our faith be increased as we understand the God that we serve. Bless us now, Father, in Christ's name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. How many of you here tonight will say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart tonight. God's speaking to my heart tonight. I want you to know that I haven't been walking where I should be walking. I got an awful lot of Jacob in me, Pastor. I haven't been in my book. I haven't been faithful like I should be. And I got a lot of Jacob in me. And I know that God's trying to lead me and get me to become Israel. I know that. God has some wonderful things that He wants me for. But Pastor, I got an awful lot of Jacob in me tonight. And I want you to pray for me. I need to see the Lord of hosts. But I also need to realize that He's the God of Jacob. Pray for me, Pastor. Would you slip your hand up all over this building tonight? All over this building. Raise your hand. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, folks. Many hands. God bless you. All right, folks, let's yield ourselves to the Lord tonight. Let me ask this one question before I pray. Who here tonight will say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I've been born again. I'm not sure if I die today that I'm going to heaven. I just don't know that 100% for sure. But I'm concerned about my soul. You talked about this great God. Yes, I did. And my friends, I want you to know that great God is able to save. And He can save your soul tonight if you'll let Him. How many here tonight will say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I do not know if I died today I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Yes, sir. God bless you. I see your hand. You may put it down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Let me pray for you tonight. I won't embarrass you, I promise, but I will pray for you. Ask God to touch your heart, speak to your heart. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Now, Father, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, there's at least one precious soul here that needs to be saved. And I pray that tonight this person will walk down this aisle and let us take the Word of God and show them how to be saved. Lord, they can leave here tonight knowing that the Lord of hosts is His Lord. The God of Jacob is His God. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to this heart clearly and in conviction and bring this soul to Yourself. And Lord, I pray for these Christians all over this building. And I noticed that there were young and middle-aged and elderly. Lord, all ages, men, women, teenagers, children, raise their hand. Lord, we all need to just spend some time with You, realizing Your vastness, Your immensity, but Lord, also realizing that You're the God of the individual. And Lord, You want a personal fellowship, and You want to get the Jacob out of us, and You want us to become that prince with God. Lord, speak to hearts tonight. I pray You'll touch every heart in this building and give us all a hungering and a thirsting for righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.